Hello, this is Kevin, one of your hosts for week 6 of the End Zone. I'm here with a very special message, and that is, I will bow down to the awesomeness that is Kyle Wagner and the Chiefs as they embarrassed my Raiders at home. I bow down to the Kyle Wagner God of football. Kyle Wagner God of football, I bow down to you. And here we are. Welcome to the End Zone. Look back on week 6.
Woo! Celebrate good times. Come on. That earthquake that you felt out in California, by the way, Kevin, that was Don Terry Poe catching the football and then falling into the end zone over about 5 Raider defenders.
I just had a flashback to William Refrigerator Perry when that happened.
You have to admit, that was, I mean, come on. Okay, they do a diamond formation with the backup tight end, the tackle, and the fullback, with Don Terry Poe in the big 367-pound defensive lineman in back, and he catches the ball. And, I mean, they just obliterated any Raider defender on that.
No, you're under a misconception there. The Raiders' defense was actually not there. They were stuck in traffic and never actually made stadium.
No, Kevin, wait. Because that would be an improvement for the Raiders' defense.
Oh, now you're just making it. Now you're just you're hitting me where it hurts, bro.
No,
So for our listeners, I'm a Raiders fan. Kyle's a Chiefs fan, and our teams played against each other this weekend. And I was hoping it would be a much more competitive game. The Raiders, right out of the block, were able to go down, score a touchdown. We were up 7-0. Things were looking kind of good. I was kind of going neener in my mind, and we only scored 3 points for the rest of the game. Chiefs win 26-10 and basically school the Raiders at home in their home black hole. And I got to give it up to your Chiefs, man. They came to play. Our defense, again, was not there. Our offense sputtered. Derek Carr was not on this time, and we couldn't stop your run, and you guys did a good balance of the run attack and the pass.
Well, I think what this game showed, and I mean, it's something actually I've been very frustrated with Kansas City, is 1 week they look world beaters and the next week they struggle, and it's been a continuing thing. What I saw of this, because I didn't see I watched basically what they would show on the breads on this game, but what I saw, I mean, and granted, the weather was terrible in this game. I mean, they were playing a spot. If I'm a Raiders fan, not only am I a little concerned about the defense, I'm concerned that your offense is becoming very one-dimensional very quickly. It's basically how the passing game goes, and if it's not on, you look like a different team. I know Murray's been a bit banged up, but nobody else has really kind of stepped in to fill in that role, and I think that even before Murray got hurt, they weren't running the ball very good. And I think the off balance of your offense is starting to catch up with you a little bit.
I would love to say, no, man, stop picking on my Raiders. They suck. But no, I got to agree with you. The offensive play calling is vanilla. And, you know, we can't always rely on the long bomb to Crabtree and Amari Cooper, and I think you're right. Our opposing defenses are starting to kind of figure that out, and we got to reach into that playbook and change things up a little bit. And I know a lot of my fellow Raider fans feel the same way, and so I can't argue that point.
Well, and the big thing was and we discussed this a little bit. This was a huge game for both of these teams because on Thursday night. The San Diego Chargers, who I think are a better football team than what their record has indicated, and I think it may have been you who brought the stat to my attention. The San Diego Chargers, in time of leading a game, lead the NFL in holding the lead for the longest in most amount of time this season. However, they can't hold on to that lead at the end of games.
Yeah, they're choking. They're not playing that last quarter. And they did both our teams a huge favor by beating the division leading Denver Broncos, who, you know, supposed to have a very good defense, couldn't stop the Chargers from scoring some points. And of course, were able to take, you know, the Charger defense was able to take advantage of the, you know, the problems that the Denver offense is having. So going into that game, that game was huge for both of our teams, man. The Raiders had a chance to basically cement first place if we could win at home against your Chiefs and, you know, be able to be on that top rung of the ladder and look down at everyone. But Chiefs had different plans, man. Yeah.
Well, and I will say this, too. I'm kind of wondering if we're not seeing Denver being exposed a little bit. Now, granted, Gary Kubiak wasn't even coaching the Denver Broncos this week due to migraine issues. But they haven't been able to run the football now 2 weeks in a row against what I would call even that great of defenses. And I'm just wondering if, you know, what we're seeing is, too, with the Denver defense, is the amount of time they're having to carry that football team, if it's not starting to wear on them some.
Well, one last point I wanted to make on our game, because I'm ready to move on.
What, this wasn't a half-hour episode of Chiefs dominance of the Raiders?
No. I'm just giving you another minute here, and then we're moving on, bro. But Jamaal Charles came back with a vengeance and was able to embarrass the Raiders.
Well, and here's the thing. He wasn't even the best running back of the day against your Raiders. Spencer Ware, who has been solid for Kansas City since last season, filling in for an injured Jamaal Charles, was outstanding with a 100-yard-plus rushing game. You know, it's funny, and we'll bring up this point here in a little bit with a piece of news that came out today of the day that we're recording this, but how deep Kansas City is at running back is absolutely amazing. You forget that about Jandrick West, who had several nice runs against this week too, and he had been a little bit injured. They go three deep at running back, where a lot of teams are lucky to have one good running back.
Yeah, you guys are definitely deep there, and that's going to help you in the long run. And I honestly feel that the Raiders hope of AFC West dominance, or at least a playoff berth somewhere, the Chiefs are going to be in our way. So that was definitely a thing to, you know, kind of wake up to there and go, okay, Chiefs got some parts there. So it's going to be tough to, we're going to see you guys again on a Thursday night game in December.
Yep. Now here's the thing though, Kevin, because the AFC was in ways turned upside down this week, yet the very top of the AFC is still the same. So let me explain this a little bit. It was not a good week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. First, they came out absolutely flat against a very bad Miami Dolphins team.
Not to mention those horrible throwback uniforms.
I try to forget those.
God, I hate those.
But it got even worse because right towards the end of the first half of the game, Ben Roethlisberger went down with a knee injury. Now, he came back and played, but news broke on Monday that he was having surgery for torn meniscus. He is definitely out this week for the upcoming Patriots game, possibly another couple of weeks. Roethlisberger's always kind of healed fast and gotten back on the field, but Pittsburgh's problems aren't just Roethlisberger. Jay Ajayi, who has done nothing all season, ran for 200-plus yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday.
Yeah, this was a game that a lot of people thought the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to come trooping into Miami and take care of business. And we all bought into, let's go ahead and start that Pittsburgh defense. On one of my teams I did, and regretting that. Miami got feisty, and like you said, Ajayi just ran all over the place. And they were able to upset even though they were playing at home, still they were able to upset the Steelers. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. I think one of the things that this game proved is even though we are in a pass-happy NFL, if you can give any quarterback a good running game, they will look like a credible quarterback because Ryan Tannehill looks solid in this game. But it helps when your running back is running all over the defense. But on the other side of this coin, when I said things get turned upside down in the AFC, but the top still remains the same, Tom Brady's really good, Kevin.
Yeah, he's all right. It was really nice to fantasy-wise to see Gronkowski kind of step up. But yeah, New England Patriots are now 5-1. Gronkowski and Brady were able to connect again. And
and here's the thing. I watched a lot of the first half of that game, was getting a lot of play on the red zone. The first half of that game, Cincinnati was just shutting down the Patriots. They made
it looked like they were going to hold their own.
And then all of a sudden, Brady said, okay, I'm done. I've had enough. And I mean, they just dominated the Cincinnati Bengals in the second half of that football game. So the Bengals are down. You've got Denver. We're not quite sure what's going on there. And I mean, as much as a Kansas City fan I am and a Raider fan you are, I don't see them being able to hang with New England on a full game. I think New England's just lapped the field in the AFC right now when you add in the Roethlisberger injury.
You know who right now, if we were going to be going into the playoffs and you know how teams get streaky,
mm-hmm.
and you know maybe you don't have the best record going into the playoffs, but you have enough to make it there. I think the biggest challenge right now, and we got to give some kudos to Buffalo Bills.
Well, and you know, as much as it kills me to steal a line from Chris Berman, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
my good friend Bob is a huge Bills fan, and one of my other friends here in Atlanta, Jason, he's a big fan as well. And it's these guys, their defense seems stout as well. Their offense is clicking.
Well, here's the thing, Kevin. They fired their offensive coordinator after going 0-2, and it didn't take a genius to realize. We have Shady McCoy. We should probably give him the football.
And what I'm really curious about is the game that the Bills were able to beat the Patriots, their one loss, if that's going to come back and really mean something later on down the playoff picture. So, yeah. Before we move on from the AFC, I just want to mention one quick Raiders note here that big news in – there was a press conference in Las Vegas with the governor, or was it the mayor? Can't remember. I think it was the governor, signing a bill into place allowing public funding for $750 million, which I think is going to be taken from the hotel tax to help build a new stadium to draw the Raiders to Las Vegas. And owner Mark Davis was there for the press conference. And so there's all of these hoops for things for you to jump through in order for something like this to actually happen. And even though it is not set in stone yet, this was probably the biggest hoop that had to be done. And then there's still several more to follow, more, you know, the NFL owners, which are going to be, there's going to be a meeting with the NFL owners, I think this weekend or the next weekend. This is, and Mark Davis is going to address the owners about this. Then there's going to be another set of meetings, and then eventually there has to be a vote where they have to get, I think, 24 of the 32 owners to vote on this. So the steps are being made for the Oakland Raiders to become the Las Vegas Raiders, but Oakland is still going to have a chance to make a pitch and to try to keep the Raiders, see if that's going to happen. But there was an interview with Mark Davis after that press conference, and they were saying, you know, what do you have to say to Oakland? And he said, to the city of Oakland, I have nothing else to say, but to the Oakland Raider fans, I love you guys. You know, they're the best fans in the world. So obviously Mark Davis isn't happy with the city of Oakland. And of course, a lot of Oakland fans are not happy with Mark Davis for what he's doing. So I don't know what the man's thinking. I'm sure, you know, he's not the richest owner, and he's kind of, he's he knows that that Las Vegas wants the team, and he's willing to go because he knows that they're going to get the best stadium and he's probably going to get the best seats. So I don't know. Just real quick before we move on, what's your take on this? I know you're a Chiefs fan, but what do you think about all this?
For the history side of it, I would hate to see it happen. I mean, it was bad enough when they moved to Los Angeles, but to move them completely out of California, that would just be a very sad happening. However, if there was ever a team that was designed to play in Las Vegas, it's the Raiders.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I hate seeing any city lose their team, but, you know, as much as I hate to say it, and this is just looking at the Oakland government, not the fans or city of thing. I mean, Oakland has problems with that stadium. That stadium is old, it's decrepit, it needs to be replaced. They refuse to deal with the issue. I wouldn't be surprised if even the Oakland A's don't move because the city of Oakland just doesn't want to spend the money to put in a new stadium. And they were showing footage from halftime of that game where massive leaks in the locker rooms.
Oh yeah, the O.co stadium there, it's a pit. It's yeah. Falling apart. We love it though, you know, for what it is. It's got a lot of character, but both the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders, they need new stadiums. So hopefully Oakland will step up and prevent this from happening and really kind of put a plan out there to keep the Raiders in Oakland with a brand new stadium. Yep. Some other notes that I want to kind of touch on real quick. Obviously, you mentioned that Ben Roethlisberger's hurt. He is out with the Patriots. They have a bye. There might be a chance he might be able to come back after that. We'll see. Alshon Jeffrey, the Bears, says they got to score some TDs.
Yeah, he said it very colorfully, too.
What's interesting, too, is that he is the first string receiver, and he's not getting the ball or he's not making the most of it. It's the other two receivers, the second and third round. So yeah. I don't know what's going on there from a fantasy point of view. It kind of sucks, but he's not the elite receiver. So I don't know what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about, because there's a couple other games from the previous week I want to hit real quick. Interesting note what's going on in Chicago, though, because there's a big-time transition going out there. Jay Cutler's not going to play for the Bears again this season. He's done. His career in Chicago is done. Alshon Jeffrey has been having health problems. They found a receiver that Hoyer has developed a really good chemistry with in Meredith.
And yeah, Meredith.
You also have Josh Howard, who has just come out of nowhere. So the Bears are not a good football team, but they've found some pieces, it looks like.
Hold on. You're saying you think Cutler's done? Like
Cutler will be on a different
for good, not just this season.
Cutler will be on a different football team next season.
But he's still got part of his contract that they're going to have to trade.
They,
right?
they will yeah. they will either trade him or they will flat out release him. But he will not be on the Chicago Bears next season. But there were a couple other interesting games from Week 6 too, Kevin. I got to talk about the end of that Falcons Seahawks game.
I was looking at, I didn't watch that game, but apparently Falcons got kind of hosed for not getting a pass interference call from Sherman.
Yeah, I mean, I like Richard Sherman. He's one of the best corners in the league, but he hooked Julio Jones' arm so obviously, and how the refs missed this call is beyond me. Not saying it would have changed the outcome of the game, but it would have made it a lot more interesting. I mean, and when you're talking about two teams right now in the NFC that are probably your two favorites at this point to make a real run outside of Minnesota. That's a big game.
I want to stay on this one real quick. This brought up a lot of questions on, you know, refs missing these type of calls. It's weird how us as an audience watching this, and I was talking to other people that were watching this game at work, and they were saying that it was just so obvious that, you know, as fans watching it on a screen can see it, why can't these guys see it? And why can't something like that be challenged?
Well,
you know?
And here's the thing. I think the NFL desperately needs to change the pass interference rule in this aspect. One, I think they need to make it challengeable, but they need to adopt the college system and just make pass interference an automatic 15-yard penalty. Instead of this, it was pass interference on a 50-yard bomb and the team gets a 50-yard basically gains a 50-yard penalty because of a pass interference.
You're saying that the college rules say that the 50-yard penalty will take place from what, the scrimmage?
Yeah, the line of scrimmage.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that would cause the refs to maybe be more willing to call pass interference, because I think some of it, and I think it's a good point brought up in this particular case, the refs did not want to be the people who had the outcome of the game by calling this pass interference call. I think yeah. because it was the end of the game, they kept the flag in their pockets. Another interesting game, Kevin, was the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts on Sunday night, because Indianapolis should have won that football game, and Houston came back with two touchdowns with 3:42 left to go to force that game into overtime and then win the game in overtime. What is wrong with the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't know, and I can tell you this, I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, no. And the only reason
Hold on. I just want to say that when I was looking at the game ahead, and we had a Monday night game with these two teams, this is where you wish you kind of had Monday night, had a flex.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had no interest in watching this game. I didn't care. I didn't watch it. I had to get up at, you know, early the next morning. But I see where you're saying, like, what's up with the Colts? What's up with Andrew Luck and, you know, the players they've had in the pieces before, and they were possibly playoff bound. I don't know what's wrong with them. But, you know, if, you know, I've been watching their highlights or their lowlights. There's certain teams I can care about and kind of be interested in, but these are two teams that I'm not interested in right now, because they're not, to me, they're just not interesting. They're not playing well. You know, it's more like I'm more interested in the Jets, who are 1-4 right now, because, you know, you made the point of the Chargers. I'm more interested in watching the Chargers play, even though they're 1-5. Or 1-4, or whatever it is. And even watching, you know, the struggling Carolina team and also the Saints and stuff like that, I'm more interested in those because they're more entertaining and they seem to be trying. And I don't know what it is about those two teams. I just did not care about that Monday night game.
The only reason why I bring it up is because I would hate to see what I consider one of the better young quarterbacks in the NFL being wasted right now, like he is with Indianapolis. Yeah. But, yeah, you bring up Carolina. Yet again, a team post Super Bowl just falling apart.
Can I gotta say, I'm gonna officially say something right now.
What's that?
I was a big fan of Cam Newton when he first came on, mm-hmm. and but I had a wake up call to his personality after his poor sportsmanship after losing the Super Bowl, and he did the exact same thing after them losing this game. And, you know, and you see him on those yogurt commercials, you see him on all these things, and when you see him score a touchdown, he's like, oh yeah, I'm awesome, Superman, blah blah blah. That guy needs to grow up. He needs to grow a pair, and he needs to know how to be humble, and he needs to know how to lose and lose with dignity. He is pissing me the hell off. I cannot stand his personality. I used to like him. I don't like him anymore. And, you know, he is a big, big baby, and he needs to grow up.
Kevin,
he needs to know. He needs to look at other people that own it. When you lose, you own it. Derek Carr did that. He owned it. He owned it when he lost to the Chiefs. And that's what I've seen other professionals. He needs to be a professional, and he is not. He's a big baby.
Well, here's the thing about Cam Newton, and being in Florida, I got a little more exposure to him. He had some serious problems that led him to leave the Gators in the first place. And yeah, he had that one magical season at Auburn, but he's an amazing athlete. But like you said, he somebody needs to sit him down and have a real conversation about how to conduct yourself as a professional. So now, the other thing I want to address too is, and this is another person who, he's a little weird. I think some people need to maybe rein him in just a little, but that Odell Beckham guy, he's pretty darn good.
I love the ongoing thing with the kicker's net.
Yeah,
that's very
funny.
Entertaining. that's kind of, you know, he's on that verge where I think he's kind of learning from his mistakes. He's, you know, he obviously, with the whole kicker's net thing, and he's kind of like made peace with it, and he's kind of making fun of it and poking at it and making a thing. But I think he's on the verge too of whether or not he can be professional in a losing situation as well. He's doing better than he is with Cam Newton, though. But yeah, he's definitely entertaining, and he's an elite number one receiver. I wanted to touch on another game here.
Okay.
And this is something that everyone's talking about, and it is the Cowboys going into Lambeau Field, beating handily the Packers. Dak Prescott leading the way again, and the big question of whether Romo will return or not.
Oh, wait, Kevin. I'm bringing in a hot take.
All right, well, hot take?
Tony Romo will not be with the Dallas Cowboys next season. Tony Romo, unless there is an injury to Dak Prescott, will not play a game for the Dallas Cowboys this season.
Do you think he's going to be released or traded?
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a trade. It's going to be awful hard with his contract, but Jerry Jones has kicked in the backpedaling big time this week on Tony Romo comments he's made before. And
well,
Dak Prescott has earned the right. And you don't mess with that kind of chemistry they've got going on in Dallas right now.
Well, according to CBS.com here, Jerry was, I guess one of his recent quotes says no time frame for Romo. And I think we mentioned it last week, but Favre was quoted saying that if Romo's ready, he just needs to sit down and play when he's called upon. He should actually probably go down to second string. He'll be probably one of the most richest second string quarterbacks, but hopefully he won't become a distraction. He seems to be supportive on the sideline. I don't know if you've seen some video of him.
Oh yeah,
supporting Dak.
But when you know you can't play, compared to when you are cleared to play, that's a big difference.
It's true. Yeah, that's true. But I think right now that they need to stick with Dak. Dak has earned the spot. Dak has been saying all the right things, saying this is Tony's team, blah, blah, blah. No, Dak, it is now your team. Yeah. And hopefully Jerry always loves to play the coach as well as the owner. And that's one thing that's pissed me off and pissed off a lot of Cowboy fans, of him being too involved and not letting the coaches do their thing, and because he wants his hand in everything. You know, and it's funny too, because all of the interviews are done with Jerry, not the coach.
Yeah.
You know, so we know who's pulling the strings, obviously. But, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I'm impressed with Dak Prescott, and what he's done with the team. And, I got to give it to him. And I think he's earned it and he deserves it.
Well, and this is, we're talking about, you want to talk about somebody maturing. This is a kid who did make a mistake. He got arrested for DUI before the draft. It knocked him down to a fourth round pick. Yet he has carried himself with such maturity for a rookie this year, considering the situation he was put in. So yeah, I, as much as I hate to say it, hats off to Dak Prescott, having Ezekiel Elliott back to hand off to, and that offensive line helps greatly too. And on the flip side, real quick, I am starting to believe there is something wrong with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if he's disinterested. I don't know if he's got issues with Mike McCarthy, the coach, and the offense that's being run. But things are not right in Packerland. And it starts with number 12, and who just does not look like the same player. And this is probably from, I'll say, even 2 years ago, because last year he was a little off. So I'm just wondering if it maybe isn't time for a coaching change in Green Bay and to bring in some fresh blood.
Yeah, you touched on something there that I hadn't considered, is not health wise, but mentally, there's something going on there. There might be something deeper that we don't know.
I have two words for you about that, Kevin. Olivia Munn.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, you're right. He is not he's not performed at all compared to what we expect him to. So one other thing I just want to mention real quick too: your Chiefs traded Niles Davis to the Packers. Because Packers got banged up there on the running back position. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, here we go, because this is a good transition into fantasy for this week. Anyway, one, Kansas City's trading from a position of strength. They get added a draft pick. Niles Davis was sitting on the bench, and he is a good running back. A couple of years ago, when Jamaal Charles went down with some ankle injuries, and he actually, even in the playoff game that the Chiefs lost to the Colts, where the Colts made an amazing comeback, Niles Davis had an amazing game there. This is a guy who should be at least at worst running back who's in the mix, and he just was not going to see the light of day in Kansas City. This is a huge trade for the Packers because James Starks went down last week. He had knee surgery. He's going to be out for a few weeks, and it's just been kind of breaking now that Eddie Lacy has an ankle injury, and they're saying he can miss some significant time with this injury. So Nile Davis might be somebody you might want to put a waiver wire on. I wouldn't start him this week because he's got to learn that offense in a very short time since they play Thursday night. But right. But Nile Davis could be somebody to keep an eye on going forward, depending on what's going to happen with that Packers running back situation.
Well, let's jump into fantasy football here. Let's jump into the trophy league that you and I are on at NFL.com.
Yeah, it was a rough rough week for me thanks to Roethlisberger's injury.
Yeah, how did Kyle's Commandos do this week?
We were hanging in close, and it was one of those things where the Roethlisberger injury, when your quarterback goes down, it just kills you, and you just can't make up that kind of point difference.
That's true. Did you start Doug Martin? Is Doug Martin still hurt?
No, Doug Martin he's been hurt. The Bucs were on bye this week. But that was going to be a player to watch this week. Is Doug Martin coming back from injury? It's going to shake up the Tampa Bay running back rotation. But if you watch the Monday night game against Carolina, Tampa Bay really realized, hey, we need to stick more with the running game, and having their bell cow and Doug Martin back, that's going to be a big thing to watch. I think it's going to help Jameis Winston as well. So now there was some news about Vincent Jackson today that I need to check on, Kevin. It didn't sound real good. I only caught it on bits and pieces down here on local Tampa radio. I'm going to research that, but I know you got a couple of names to watch for fantasy. And you actually had some pretty good weeks this week in our fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, my team did pretty well this week. I was able to I started off 2-0 and then I lost 3 in a row. Now I'm back up to 500 at 3-3. I had I started Cam Newton though. And his stats for the first half were horrible. I'm like, great. But he was playing from behind, so he's thrown a lot of passes, obviously, and running. He scored me quite a bit. Threw in Randall Cobb, too. He came back, did well. Matt Forte did okay, not great. But my pickup of the week and the big surprise was James White, the running back for New England. Able to get some ground game, but also a lot of passes. And Brandon Cooks blew up for me.
Cooks again with a huge touchdown. And just to follow up real quick, Vincent Jackson has been placed on season-ending IR with an ACL injury. This is probably the end of his career, Kevin.
Yeah, I remember him from San Diego. So yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. You brought up James White. That's an interesting name to bring up, Kevin, because there's going to be an interesting situation at running back in New England in about two more weeks. Dion Lewis is getting ready to come back off the physically unable to perform list.
Oh, and that guy.
If you remember, he was a little fantasy monster before he hurt his knee last season. Because he was catching balls left and right from Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, I got lucky. I picked up Jonathan Stewart because I had Cameron Artis Payne as well. But I played Stewart, and I'm really glad I did. So. Yeah. So let's look at our standings here. So at number one is Death Touch at 5-1. He, by the way, I think he was the one that did pick up Derek Carr first round, and you kind of made fun of him, and that's been paying off. But of course, you know, this last week, no, not so much. We have a bunch of people here at 3-3, which includes me and you. Yeah. And several others. But the best, we got two people at 5-1 and one person at two people at 1-5. So it's still a close race. We're still in here, you know.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, have you looked at the schedule? I hate you.
Yes, we are playing to each other this in fantasy football. The Raider Nerd and the Kyle's Commandos here. I have a higher waiver number though, so we'll see if I get my my waiver pickup. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But here's what really hurts though is that I have Blake Bortles, and I have to start him against my Oakland Raiders. I have to.
Yes, one of those times where reality football destroys you in fantasy football.
Yes, but you know, I have the Bills defense. I'm definitely going to start them at Miami. You know, I got Carolina's on a bye this week, obviously, and Dallas is on a bye. But yeah, I'm looking at our team here. It looks like you got Winston, Gordon, Gurley, Robinson, Williams, Jamal Charles, Devontae Parker. Is it Devontae Parker? Yeah. Is that the name? Yeah. Spencer Ware, Tucker, and the Cardinals going against right now. Of course, our waiver wires haven't cleared yet. That's tomorrow. I got Blake Bortles, Matt Forte, Sproles, Cobb, Green, of course, White, the new running back. Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs returns. Hopefully he'll be productive this time. Sturgis and the Bills defense.
Well, and you should notice down on my bench, somebody, a player we just talked about, is sitting on my bench that will be moved into that starting lineup before it's all said and done.
Hold on, let me guess. You got Martin and Macklin sitting on your bench.
Yes. Dougie Martin will be in that starting lineup.
Okay.
As the non,
you can leave him on the bench. I'm cool with that, bro.
Well,
you should put Roethlisberger up into your quarterback thing, because I hear he's going to play this weekend.
Because you know that 49er run defense, you know, was so stout this week against Buffalo Bills.
And put that Devin Funches guy. I hear he's gonna just go play by himself. So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, there you go. So. Yeah, that'll be fun. Now, on our other ESPN league, it was painful for me this week, Kevin.
I don't even want to talk about that. I think I only scored like 91 points.
Well, No. Yeah. I got Drew Brees.
Oh, jeez.
Drew Brees. Now, you got to understand, we have some crazy quarterback scoring in that league, but Drew Brees scored 113 points by himself.
Just crazy.
So, you know, it was a rough week for me fantasy football wise, but you know what? I'm still in first place in our division in the ESPN league.
Well, I want to put some names out there that are available in our fantasy football trophy league. Some people on the waiver wire that are also popular in other leagues as well. Quarterback wise, we've got Joe Flacco, Brian Hoyer, who I hate to say is viable.
Yeah.
Even Marcus Mariota. And then, by the way, stay away from Ryan Fitzpatrick for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's going to be a mess. And
Running back, we've got, hold on a second. I want to do the projections here. It'll be a little easier. Niles Davis is up there right now.
I would say stay away from him this week. But for future weeks, you might want to put in at least a consideration, see what's going to happen. The big key is
Bobby Rainey's there as well. And also a lot of people getting interest in Chris Thompson again, the backup on Washington, and Devontae Booker. Of course, you know, that's because the coach wants Devontae to get back in there, but we'll see. Yeah. Ronnie Hillman, haven't heard that name in a while. He's on there. Let's look at wide receivers right here real quick. We've got Kenny Britt, Pierre Garçon, Quincy Yunwa, Brandon LaFell. Don't know about him. But Brian Quick.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I got to address this real quick. The number one pick in the draft is not going to see the field anytime soon, Kevin, because Case Keenum is playing some pretty good football.
He is, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, speaking of the second round pick, Carson Wentz started him, of course, and he did not do too well against Washington. So he got a little case of reality and lost his first game. So, yeah.
So second game. Remember, they lost.
Oh, second game. That's right. Okay. Well, what do you say we look to week 7 to the games that we have going on here? And let's kind of pick out some games of note. Like we said earlier, we got Carolina and Dallas on a bye. So the Thursday night game we got is Green Bay at Chicago. Let's talk about the primetime games and see, you know, because those are the big ones here. We got Green Bay at Chicago for Thursday night game. The Sunday night game, we've got Arizona hosting Seattle. And then we've got Monday night, Denver's hosting Houston. These are all interesting games, except for maybe the Thursday night game now.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, I mean, Denver-Houston is mainly interesting for the Brock Osweiler situation. Houston's been a tough team to watch this season.
Yeah, but Denver defense wants all that Brock.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple of other, the Minnesota at Philadelphia game, I'd watch that game.
Yeah, I do think, however, Minnesota is going to run roughshod on the Philadelphia Eagles, because I think the Philadelphia Eagles are falling back to reality some. I'm looking at this. Obviously, Patriots-Steelers took a big hit with Roethlisberger going down.
Yeah.
Seahawks-Cardinals, those are always entertaining games because the physicality in those games, those are wars. I think an interesting game on the schedule is actually this Redskins-Lions game, Kevin. Those are two teams that are playing some pretty solid football right now, but kind of flying under the radar. And I do like the London game, actually. They're going to actually give London some decent teams to watch in the New York Giants and the Rams.
Yeah, let me ask you something, your personal preference. These games are starting Eastern time very early for us. It's 9:30 Eastern time. So London time is about 5 hours ahead. So that's about, was it going on 2:30, something like that? What I don't understand, and when I was at a London game myself a couple of years ago to go see my Raiders play against Miami, I don't understand why they can't start them later. You know, like this 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or whatever it is to match the regular 1 o'clock start time. I don't understand why that, because I don't know who is getting up that early to watch a game to get excited about that, unless you're a fan of those particular teams. Well, What's your take on that?
I think part of it might have to do with the stadium they play in, considering that stadium is heavily used for soccer. So maybe they have.
What does that have to do with the start time, though?
Soccer isn't just once a week. I mean, if they have games for soccer that they've got scheduled after that, they might need enough time to really repair the field. I think it's definitely something to do with London and things that are being dictated to the NFL by London.
Maybe they're not used to playing games that late. I don't know, but I'm really curious to find out the ratings that these bring in on the state side. Cause, you know, unless it was my Raiders, I don't want to watch that game at 9:30 in the morning. I'm usually working on Sunday mornings anyway, but I just don't get that. It doesn't make sense unless they're trying to spotlight that at its own time slot. So that is the only game to watch, and people, if they do want to watch football, they have to watch it then. So
yeah, when I look at the schedule too, Kevin, I see this is a big time elimination week where I think there's some teams that have been kind of hovering around the bubble, or teams that got off to good starts and struggled the last couple weeks, that if they lose this week, they could be in some. It's time to consider these teams in trouble.
How do you feel about your KC playing at home against New Orleans?
I like it because New Orleans defense is terrible, and he didn't play, and I think it was more because of the weather than anything, and I don't think they wanted his first game back from that injury to be in that muck, but Justin Houston has been cleared for football activities. I don't think Drew Brees, even just if he's going in for passing downs, wants to see Justin Houston on the football field.
Yeah, good point. My Oakland's going to Jacksonville, and this is going to be the first of a back-to-back two-game stint in Florida. Because the following game, Raiders are going to play Tampa, where you and I will be at that game.
Yeah, absolutely. This week's game is interesting. The only thing I'm going to say to your Raiders is Derek Carr needs to do whatever he can to avoid one Mr. Jalen Ramsey. Because that kid is playing some ball.
Yeah, that's you know, that was one of those games on the schedule we were looking at going, that is a very winnable game, but right now I'm not so sure.
Well,
so.
Jacksonville's off. This is interesting because it's weakness versus weakness. Jacksonville's offense has been terrible all season long. So
yeah.
I think another interesting game on this docket is actually this Chargers-Falcons game.
Yeah, that's right. That's here in Atlanta. Got to start taking Falcons seriously. They're playing some good ball.
Yeah, even though they lost to Seattle this week, they were in that game right to the end, and we talked about that call. But yeah. So, Kevin, what game is your pick of the week to be the one to watch?
Obviously, we can't pick our own game because, you know, that wouldn't be as fun. That is a good question. I'm kind of going back between a few here. I got to say Minnesota at Philadelphia.
Yeah, that game.
Minnesota's back on the bye, and the Philadelphia defense is going to have a decent defense, but I really want to see Carson Wentz and that offense go against the Minnesota defense. That's the one, other than my Oakland Raiders, I would want to watch.
Yeah, well, I think Carson Wentz is in for a long game because I think that Vikings defense is salivating at the fact of a
and well rested.
Yeah, and if there's been one knock on Carson Wentz, he tends to hold on to the football a little bit too long. So those of us who have the Vikings defense in fantasy leagues are going to be very happy they're back from bye this week.
For the record, too, Minnesota is currently favored by 2.5 points at Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I think that would be higher if it was in Minnesota. So, yeah. Well, my friend, I think it's time to call that final play. Be ready for the long bomb.
I'm ready to be done with this episode. It's funny how, you know, our teams played each other this week, and the Chiefs, you know, they came up, they played, they deserve that win over the Raiders. But our rivalry is not done, as our fantasy teams are going against each other this week.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the most appropriate way I can close out this week's episode is we're going to the place the Oakland Raiders could not find, but Dontari Poe sure did. We want to thank you for joining us this week. In the end zone.